I just want to start with a little announcement. There will be no joke, I guarantee you, but just an announcement. You know, we preview Father McNeil's jokes at Wednesday at supper. So I'm not saying it accounts for indigestion, but no, we love Father McNeil. And, you know, we're looking forward to celebrating his 50th anniversary as a priest this June. We're going to have a big blowout celebration for him. We really are. And he, who deserves it more, he would say. But this year we're in the Jubilee year for the church, Worldwide Church. Last year in the United States we had the year of the Eucharist, and there's kind of still things we're doing in response to that, putting it into practice. And one of them is we have this book on the Eucharist. It's not really a book, it's a collection of, I guess you'd say, essays on the Eucharist by a whole bunch of people, like Bishop Sheen, and well, all sorts of authors. Peter Kreefs, Matthew Kelly is in here. All sorts of people. And it's an easy read. It's a very nice book on the Eucharist. They're at all the exits, I believe, entrances, exits, and they're for free. The diocese just said, how many do you want? I said 250 for each parish. And so they're yours for the taking. It's worthwhile picking it up and taking it home. Today we celebrate the feast of the presentation of Jesus. It's often called Candlemas Day. And in English, a few liturgical feast days have that ending mass. Obviously, the most famous is Christmas. It comes from an old English way of referencing the mass. On Christmas, obviously, we celebrate the Mass of Christ, so that's Christmas. On the feast of St. Michael, in September 29th, we celebrate the Mass of Michael, or Michael Mass, and today we have the presentation of Jesus in the temple on Candlemas Day. And Luke describes Simeon, you know, as waiting for the Messiah. That's the big thing, that it was revealed to him that he would not die until he saw the Messiah. And Simeon knew from God that he was going to see the Messiah with his own eyes, and so he waits in the one place he knew that the Messiah was sure to come, and that's the temple. At the door of the temple he was focused. And his standing by the door has significant meaning in this passage. The Jewish people had managed by the time of Jesus to rebuild their temple not once but twice. After it had been destroyed by various other nations, they rebuilt the temple. And yet the rebuilding of the temple was not like the first time they built the temple in the days of Solomon, because two things were missing in the subsequent restorations. And what could those two things be? Well, one was the Ark of the Covenant, the Ten Commandments that were brought when Moses led them out of slavery. They brought those commandments with them, and that was considered a very, very, very holy thing, the Ark of the Covenant. The other one was the cloud that had followed them and led them through the desert, the glory cloud, which also was part of the original temple. But when they rebuilt it a second time at the moment of inaugurating the temple, the glory of the Lord did not descend on the new temple, the rebuilt temple. And likewise, the Ark of the Covenant had been lost. Nobody knew where it was. In 2 Maccabees, we read that apparently Jeremiah found a chamber in a cave in which he put the tent, the Ark of the Covenant, and the altar of incense. Then he sealed up the entrance, and so nobody knew what cave. It was never found. So at the time of Jesus, Jewish people entering the temple were no longer inward to find God, because there was no ark, there was no glory cloud. But instead, they knew that the glory of the Lord would someday fill the temple again, and so they were looking outward and waiting. And it's this posture of waiting that we see Simeon at the doors of the temple, hoping to see the coming of the Lord. And finally, the Messiah arrives. Mary and Joseph bring the child Jesus into the temple. And Mary is the new Ark of the Covenant, the one who bore Jesus, the Christ child, in her womb. Jesus is the light of God. He is the glory of God. He is the glory cloud. He is the new temple. And so finally, the true temple receives its prized possessions once again. Well, this passage speaks to each of us a very powerful message. Each Christian is called to take on this posture of waiting in anticipation. But for whom? For what? We're to make our hearts ready to receive the Lord when he comes again. It's more of a theme of the final days of the liturgical year, like in the month of October, November. But it's a timeless message for each one of us to adhere to. Well, there's some ways that we can be prepared. I just mentioned a few. Because the coming of the Lord happens at every Mass. This morning here in our gathering, the Lord is with us. And we receive that same grace that Simeon received of being able to be here as part of a group, as part of Christians gathered together in Jesus' name. The coming of the Lord happens when we open up the scriptures and open our hearts to the living word of God that we find in the Bible. And that's why it's important to read the Bible, to be in Bible studies, Bible prayer groups, etc. And the coming of the Lord happens every time we encounter him in the face of another, in the face of someone who needs our help. We see the face of God in them. And that encourages us to help them. So today we celebrate the presentation of the Lord. An ancient tradition in the church for this day was to bless candles and hold them in church for the whole Mass. Now, I didn't think you would all want to do that. There's an abbreviated form which was celebrated last night, both here and at Mount Carmel, where we just... just an abbreviated form of that. But that was the tradition originally, to hold the candles throughout the whole Mass, because they symbolize Jesus coming into the temple. And thus, over time, this day became Candle Mass, the day of the Mass of Candles.